Well, this is a great, great occasion to be together. We've had a couple of... young people, you're spared. You may escape. I'm watching which older ones go. Just a couple of pastoral comments just to make, please, if I may, very quickly. One is, I just met Ben on the way in. Where's Ben? Ben, where's Ben go? I saw him, Ben. And Ben's back without his family from America from Christmas because your mother's not good at all. Your dad's not good at all. And so we pray for that. And I know Max Sood's just flying home because his mother is not going to make it, probably. And so he's hoping to get there in time to see her. So if you can pray for those two, that'd be great. So let's just quickly pray. Father, pray for Max Sood and the family and his flight back to Pakistan. And we pray for your hand on that situation and your comfort in that situation and your presence. Thank you for his faith. And pray, Father, that he can bring words of faith into that context. And I pray, too, for Ben and his family. Thanks, Ben, that Ben's a man of faith, too. And I pray for the heart of Ben and the family with what they're having to work through at the moment. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Right, we are in this combined service, and I want to raise a topic with us today. Tell me what the common feature is of these, or which is the odd one out of these four images. So there are the Ten Commandments. They're probably not actually, but they're tablets of stone. They'll do. wedding rings? What's that? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Okay. And you haven't seen the fourth one yet, Paul. And there's a rainbow. So which is the odd one out of those four images? Gold, frankincense. Who we go with gold? Pardon?
Rainbow.
The rainbow.
Yeah, you can touch the other three. You can't.
Okay. Yeah, true. That's right. That is true. I mean, it's one of these questions where actually it's my answer that counts. So. But oh, it's really excuses. Pardon? Why?
Because the others are like a promise, a covenant, where that's more about rules, if you like.
Okay. 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 And what do you say, Chris, then? You're saying
the rainbow is God's covenant, then he wouldn't flood the earth, marriage covenant, and the covenant of the Mosaic law.
Partners, you see. There. Yeah. The gold, frankincense, and myrrh was a gift. The other two both involved an agreement between two parties, and I got what you're saying about the Ten Commandments, and I suppose you're right there. But no. But it's they're part of a covenant, and the Ten Commandments are what's spoken one way. You're true, but of course then there's also all the promises that are to be received, and people have to buy into. And there's two way things. So a covenant is something, it's a formal alliance or agreement made between two or more parties. It's like a contract, yeah? And I put you agree to do, by you I mean you the party, so you and the other person would be agreeing to do or not to do certain things, and there are usually costs and benefits, okay? So there are things you know, if you buy a house, you agree you're going to pay money, but they agree they're going to give you a house, and that's quite nice. So, you know, that's the kind of thing. So you both lose out in some way, but you both gain in some way. And God makes lots and lots of covenants. This is something which is absolutely right the way through the Bible. God's a God of covenant. So you've got the first covenant, which is Noah, and that's the promise that it won't rain again. Yeah, it's good we've got a photograph of Noah and his family. And we don't have a photograph of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so we had to make it with an icon there. God made a promise to them, and their promise was that they would have a big family, they would have a land, but also they'd bless the whole world, and then At Sinai, there was this promise made. We have a photograph of Moses, which is nice as well, but we're not quite sure whether he's holding the right sort of tablets. And then there's the David. This is Leonardo da Vinci's David. And David, obviously, God made a covenant with David that his family would always be king. Well, of course, we've got King Jesus, who's part of his family. So God kept that promise. And that there would be a blessing through having this wonderful king. And then there's a covenant with us, too. And that covenant with us is about the work of Jesus that he's done for us. And we'll come back to communion. Communion's right at the center of this covenant that God's... We celebrate that covenant. We renew that covenant regularly. This is what it says in the scriptures. Jesus says this: whilst they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my body of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." You know, it's a really interesting thing, this, that many of these covenants, certainly the big national covenant at Sinai, there were those points where you'd come together to renew the covenant, and you'd generally have a feast together. There would be something which would be a covenant renewal, and you would just cement that by having to come together. And this was a common thing of covenants. And you know, this is like our covenant renewal. We come round the table to renew the covenant we have with God through Jesus. I've got this photograph. This is the only photograph, good photograph I got on my computer of a baptism, which was Naomi being baptized right here, going back to when the church was just opened, brand new opened. And but if you look in the background, you can just see the cross there. And these are the two parts of the covenant, you know, we have. This is God's part. This is Christ's part. This is what he had to do to mean that we could be forgiven and that we could have life. And because if we don't trust in Jesus, we die. But if we do trust in Jesus, he says, you can have eternal life because you have your sins forgiven and you become part of my family and you can receive my Holy Spirit and all these good things. But you see, the baptism is the other part of that covenant, which is saying, Lord, you've given me this promise, and you've signed it with Jesus. But now I need to say yes to that by faith. And I go down into this water here just to say, yes, this is my part of this promise. I'm going to say I want to die to my old self, and I want to live a new life that follows you and trusts you. And any brothers and sisters here who don't know Jesus yet and haven't said, yes, Lord Jesus, thank you for what you've done for me. Now I sign my part of this covenant. I want to be your follower. I want to be the person who you live in, who you change. Please, this morning, just say to Jesus, Jesus, forgive me. Okay? Jesus, forgive me. Come into me. Make me new. And maybe there's some here who need to be baptized because that's the way Jesus wants us to express it. So those are the two parts of the covenant. This is God's part, and this is that one-off decision. But every time we break that bread, we're having a covenant meal. We're remembering this covenant between God and us. Every time we drink that cup, we're remembering that covenant that Jesus has taken our sins and made us one, and he's given us life. Isn't that great? And all the things that go with that. So God makes lots of covenants, and he makes covenants to bless us. They're given so that we know where we stand. How would we dare to believe otherwise? You know, the Apostle Paul says these words. This is in 1 Corinthians 2. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human... has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. You know, these promises of God are beyond belief. If we didn't have God's word to tell us they were true, and we didn't have God's promise revealed to us by his Spirit and that covenant, we wouldn't believe it. This is what it says in Genesis 9. This is the account with Moses. This is where the rainbow comes in. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. You know, can you imagine that you've just experienced a flood that's wiped everything out? And you've just got off this ark. What are you going to do the next time a cloud comes over and it starts to shower? You know, where's the ark, Dad? Why haven't you built a new one? You know, are we all going to die again? But God says, no, I want you to know where you stand. I'm promising you that I'm never going to do this again. And here's a sign so you can know it's not never going to happen again. What about this promise? Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. I love that verse. God gives us a right. How good is that? God doesn't have to give us any rights. He made us. He consciously thinks us into existence every day, and he gives us a right. He says, James, just know this. You have a right to be my child. And all you have to do, you're part of that bargain, you're part of that contract, you're part of that covenant, is to receive me and believe in me. And then you have a right. And the signs, of course, of that right are, again, breaking that bread and drinking from that cup, the sign of that covenant that we have. God is not human that he should lie, nor not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? You know, the fact that our God is so dependable, the fact that he doesn't change, the fact that he keeps his promise, just brings so many good things into our lives, doesn't it? It just blesses us. I've put some words up here. It gives us confidence. It gives us hope. We have that secure relationship. You know, you're never quite sure where you stand with somebody. You're never quite sure about that relationship. But God says, listen, I want us to have a secure relationship. This is where you stand, and this is where I stand. This is the God of heaven telling us that. How good is that? Peace. Oh, you've got my future in your hands. I can trust you. Purpose. Right, now we can get on and do a job together. Because did you notice all those covenants, they blessed the individual, but they also had a much bigger blessing in there. And God saves us that we can be involved in his purposes. So this is where we are. Three churches, three congregations at the moment. That is where we are right now in Headington Baptist Church. That is where Northway Church building is, just behind Plowman's Tower. And that is where my home is, at the very end of Barton. So Barton's going all the way on down at the bottom of this picture here. That is the new estate to be built on that bit of land. And just to orientate you, that is the bit that will stay the same, which is that substation. And that's where the junction is being built right now. And we're right around this whole area. There's lots and lots of people in this area, lots of homes, lots of folk who don't know Jesus. Lots of work to be done. And together, we can be strong in seeing God's purposes fulfilled. Churches in covenant. I've kept the rainbow on as an image there because I just think it's a helpful image to remind us that God's a God of covenant and promises. We're stronger together. We're growing in independence. We have different challenges in the different churches. I did note the blatant advertising with the promises of food from these other churches. I'm sure we can respond at HBC Central, but if you feel drawn away by the offer of food, and Federico spoke about the level cycling, but I also recognise it's 5 o'clock, isn't it? Not 10:30. You see, this is quite a big one, isn't it, this one? So it might be time that kind of just draws you away, but we have this growing independence because most of what's planned in the programme and the mission of Barton is planned in Barton. Most of what's planned and organised in the mission of Northway is planned in Northway. Most of what's planned and done here at HBC is planned here. obviously. There's that growing independence, but we share resources in many ways. And it's time to describe our solidarity as we can become more independent. What is it that we're doing together? What is that solidarity we have? How and where and why and in what areas do we act separately? How and where and what and why do we act together? How do we make decisions together? How are we going to renew our covenant? How do we meet together and just recognize that we're a family involved in a cause? These are some of the questions we have right now that we want to solve. And the same things come up, don't they? So we have confidence with each other. We have hope. We have peace with each other. We have a secure relationship with each other. We have that common purpose. This is why we need to have this covenant between us. And as we grow in our sense of separate strength and identity, how do we join arms to do this job? Does that make sense? We've got great opportunities, fabulous opportunities around here. I know that Northway has got that particular blessing with the internationals, but other areas of ministry. I know in Barton, we've got those great links with a lot of people from the years of involvement there and the work of relating by the Thrive staff and others who've been good at building all those relationships. And there's a great deal to do there in terms of connecting. I know here that we've got great opportunities because of our children. I can say this morning that we've also been approached again by Chapel Street, HBC, Central has. We're going to have to be bringing through forward to the church very quickly now what they're asking. They're asking us to partner in a school in Headington. And the leadership in the church is recommending that we have that opportunity as a church to say, will we partner in this? That deeper expression of ministering to children in the area. It's a big decision for us to make, and we need to be feeding back. I'm raising it this morning because people need to feed in, because we haven't got much time. The council has given us till the 2nd of March to make express our interest. And so there's work to be done, but I just want to announce it this morning. There are great opportunities for the kingdom. We sang the song, Change the Atmosphere. I believe the atmosphere is changing in our culture. And I think if we as Christians are ready to speak God's truth and speak God's gospel, the gospel of Christ, and live it, I believe that there's a time's coming soon when we're going to see many, many more people saved. Pray God that will be true. I've seen lives enhanced and lives turned around. There are also threats. I wasn't thinking to say this, but just yesterday morning I was in my reading. I'm in Acts 20, and this is Paul's last word to the church at Ephesus when he knows he won't see them again. He says, "Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own numbers, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard." There's nothing to surprise us here. The enemy's active, we know that. When God's kingdom is on the move, when there's progress being made, there will be opposition. But we just have to be very careful that it doesn't come from within ourselves or within our own number. We just have to hold together. This is why we need covenant. To hold together. So how do we respond? We're going to just take a couple of minutes now. It's well past time for me to stop us talking, but maybe the way you want to respond is just a moment's quiet to enjoy the moment. Say, thank you, Lord, that these things are maturing. There have been people part of this church for many, many years who've been praying to see that this church moving forward. It went down to a very small company going back a lot of years. And faithful people have kept working and praying and seeking God. And it's wonderful to see these things happening. And maybe you just want to enjoy the moment before God and say, thank you, God. Maybe there's a commitment. God, I want to commit to this. Maybe there's some repentance. You know, I know there are different reasons for pulling apart. There are some folk who feel that maybe there's more investment needs to happen here. I know there are some people in other places who want to have more expression. Maybe there's just some repentance needs to go on if there's anything in that isn't of God at this moment. Maybe you just need to commit to pray. Just take a moment to respond as you feel you need to. And because I'm going to step off the platform after this and give it straight back to Nikki, let me just put one other thing up here. We're going to have a prayer time. I don't know what happened to that one. We're going to have a prayer time on Friday the 5th. That's this Friday coming, from 8 till 10 in the Barton Neighbourhood Centre. And we're asking the three churches to come together to be praying to God. God, guide us and lead us and show us what our covenant together should be. We want your wisdom. And if you can come to that, please do. So let's just take a few moments. Let's go up to that point there and take a few moments as the band come back up to take us through to the end.